Okay, so thank you for putting it all together, as always. It's always important to understand why we do what we do. That's a fundamental principle of embracing Yiddishkeit, is to have a sense and an appreciation of why we're doing what we're doing. So what I'd like to focus on this afternoon, in the short time that we have, is the transformational nature of Leil HaSeder. Why Leil HaSeder is so unique. What makes it special? What is the central motif of Leil HaSeder that can inform us as we experience it and understand its significance? So by way of introduction, there is kind of a puzzling tradition that we have regarding an almost superhuman figure, and that is Eliyahu HaNavi. So if you think about the calendar year, the Jewish calendar year, the life cycle of the Jewish calendar, how often does Eliyahu HaNavi appear? When does he appear? In each calendar or in a bris?
A seder. And if you're really big, to teach a little Torah from time to time.
Right. Maybe if you're an Amora. But generally, these are the two times, right? It's a bris and it's a seder. And the question is why? What's the significance of that? Is it just coincidental? It happens to be that Eliyahu HaNavi appears at the seder and at the bris? Or no, there's a reason. So if you had to guess, you'd probably say there's a reason.
Well, the bris was the first mitzvah.
Okay.
Whatever.
So that's what I want to figure out, the whatever.
The whatever. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Okay, good. Pesach and Dam Milah. Perfect.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So here again, I ask the question, why? Why Dam Pesach and Dam Milah? Why is that the significant component? So, just by way of introduction, we could think about the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi was chosen for a specific reason, according to the Medrash. So Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe, obviously, you have to understand it's on his level, but he may be criticized here for the fact that when the Jewish people were running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't want to speak badly, but in a certain sense, he criticized them, and he abandoned them. And he said he's going to run far away. Hashem said, go to a cave. He had a special revelation, but Eliyahu HaNavi was pretty tough on the Jewish people. So the Medrash has this idea that, yes, even though Eliyahu HaNavi was tough on the Jewish people, but he should understand that the Jewish people are fully committed, and this is manifest in a covenant that we have, and it's an eternal covenant. It's a bris olam. And so every time that we bring a child, a little baby boy at the age of 8 days old, into the Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu, Eliyahu HaNavi Kivyachol is there to testify, and it's almost like, you see, you thought that the Jewish people didn't care, they do care. Because the bris is an irrevocable sign that this child, ultimately this person, is a member of the Jewish faith. This irrevocable sign is something, just parenthetically, which was manifest decades ago in the Shoah, because one of the challenges to hiding as a quote-unquote Aryan was that simon. So I knew there was a great Talmud Chacham, a prodigious scholar. He made Aliyah in the 1970s. He owns 7,000 Sfarim. 7,000 Sfarim he owned. His name is Rabbi Dr. Meyer Hershkowitz. So he was a Holocaust survivor, and he told me that his brother didn't look so Jewish. So he was able to, he was Hungarian. He was walking the streets undercover of not being perceived as Jewish. And then one day they got a hold of him, and how did they figure out he was Jewish?
Yes.
He had a bris milah, and they killed him on the spot. So that is the ultimate mysterious nefesh. You cannot deny, you can never reject and repudiate that sign. And that's why, all right, we're getting a little off task here, but that's why a person who is moshech ba'or lasso, someone who takes the foreskin and covers up the fact that they had a bris, it's a very serious violation, even though technically he didn't do anything halachically, you know, his bris is done. It's not, you can't undo the bris, but you're kind of hiding the fact that you made a covenant. Okay, so how does this all fit with the observance of Pesach? Because obviously there is an element on the night of the Seder of this covenant, this bris. But my question is, okay, the night of the Seder is to think about the covenant. Why is it, and what is it about the night of the Seder, where can you capture the covenant, the bris? What is the central aspect, the central feature of Leil HaSeder? Is the Korban Pesach. So the question is, why is it that the Rabbeinu Shalom chose the Korban Pesach to be that, essentially, that key to unlock the door of Yiddishkeit? The same way that today, every child that gets a bris, that's unlocking the door that they enter into the world, the covenant of the Rabbeinu Shalom, so too, on the night of the Seder, that was it. If you did a bris milah, you were in. So too, if you did a Korban Pesach, you were in. It's not coincidental, obviously, that kol ora lo yochal bo, you couldn't do the Korban Pesach without doing a bris milah. But if you didn't offer the Korban Pesach, you were left behind in Egypt. That's the bottom line. You were not leaving. So why is it, what is it about the Korban Pesach that is that line of demarcation? Either you're in or you're out. It's binary. Either yes or no.
You're repudiating Avodah Zarah.
Oh, so how is it that the Korban Pesach shows that? So if you look, actually, John, can I have one of those Xeroxes? If you look, it's, we'll come back to that point, but it's fascinating. If you look at some of the halachas of the Korban Pesach, if you have a pen, you can like circle them or outline them. There are a lot of halachas of the Korban Pesach that are unique in the world of Korbanos that can all build toward this one yesod, which is the core of the experience of the Seder. So let's just look at the Psukim very briefly, and then we can appreciate it together. This is in what we're going to read for the Parashas HaChodesh. This is the 12th chapter of Sefer Shemos, and this is an idea that was introduced to me primarily by my Rebbe Rav Moshe Stav from Keren B'Yavne. When I was learning KBY, he gave a shiur on this principle, and it's mamish like unbelievably, ridiculously awesome yesod. Amazing. Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim leimor ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim rishonu lachem l'chodesh hashana. So now we're being introduced to this at the beginning of Chodesh Nisan. Davar el kol adas Yisrael leimor, tell the Jewish people saying be'aser la'chodesh hazeh v'yikhu lahem ish selaveis avos selabayis. So the first halacha that's being learned in this, in the context of Korban Pesach, is called Mikcho Mi Ba'asar, the taking of the Korban Pesach from the 10th day. So this becomes a model for other areas of halacha. It's called Bikur. Bikur means you want to check it to make sure. This is actually also the model for the Ashkenazi practice of saying Slichos 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. This is it, because you want to take the Korban Pesach for 4 days before, make sure that it's prepared. So too, lahavdil, on some level, you are preparing yourself for the Yom HaDin. So it's like Mikcho Mi Ba'asar. So you never have, Ashkenazi practice is always to start the Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah, except if it's less than 4 days. You always need to have 4 days. So one reason some people say you have 4 days is because if you have 10 days of repentance, four of them you don't fast. It's two Shabbosos and two, generally speaking, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so it's 4 days. But the other reason is, no, it's Mikcho Mi Ba'asar. The same way you got the Korban Pesach ready 4 days in advance, you get yourself ready. So, that notwithstanding, it's just an interesting tidbit. This is the unique din in Korbanos. This is the first time we find the principle that you need Bikur, you need to be Mikcho Mi Ba'asar, you have to take it 4 days in advance. And the Gemara Pesachim discusses, does it apply to other Korbanos, which Korbanos? But this is one halacha. And we're wondering, what's the significance of the fact that you have to take it 4 days in advance? So we underline that. V'yichu lahem, you have to take it 4 days in advance. Then, you have to take a seh, a lamb, that's lebeis avos. It's for the house, for the household of the father. Selabayis. And what happens if you don't have enough? V'im yimat habayis miyos miseh. If there's not enough people in this house, then to consume aseh, v'lokachu u'shcheinu akor v'ilbeisu b'michnas l'fashos, ish l'fi ochlo tachosu al aseh. Tachosu, what does the word tachosu mean? Right, to cover. So it's like, I guess it's like lahavdil, they have in, when you go to certain kinds of bars, they have a cover charge, right? What's a cover charge? It's to get in the door, right? That's what they say, right? You have to, a cover is a certain amount of money to give. So tachosu al aseh, you got to get in on it. So this is what we call the second halacha, unique halacha in Korban Pesach, called minui. Minui means you have to be appointed on the Korban Pesach, And Rashi learns in Maseches Pesachim, Rashi learns that that means you have to pay. You have to buy your chelek of the Korban Pesach. So why is that? Why is it that you require minui on the Korban Pesach? And think about it. The minui for the Korban Pesach, the Gemara says, is specifically in advance. Tachosol said, you have to sign up in advance. It's like when Mark orders lunch, which is very gracious of him, you have to call in advance. Can you show up now and expect that everybody's going to have lunch? No. The din is, you have to be memane, you have to appoint on the Korban Pesach in advance. What's the deadline? The deadline is Shechitas HaPesach, when they slaughter it, Erev Pesach. So you can get in and get out, but you have to be done before the Shechitas HaPesach. Isn't that interesting halacha? That's the second halacha we'll point out. Why is it, number one, that you have minui, and number two, that the minui is such that there's a cutoff, and you can't just show up and eat? There's no such thing as just showing up and eat. The question is why. Furthermore, how is this Korban Pesach, how is this eaten? So you see that it's eaten how? In groups. It's okay, I have my original. It's eaten as a group. It's eaten as either as a family or as a neighborly unit. But it's eaten in what's called a chabura, as a group. The halacha is, you cannot, there's actually a lot of discussion about this, but there are two aspects of a chabura. Number one, you can't switch chaburas that we alluded to, and you can't eat from two chaburas. And then there's a third aspect of it, which is you can't take your food from your chabura to somebody else's chabura. So why do you have to eat it in a chabura? Why couldn't it be that you eat it by yourself? There's even a discussion, it's a machlokas tanoim, whether or not, let's say it's theoretically possible, is it permitted for you to eat the Korban Pesach alone? Let's say you had a voracious appetite. I'm sure you were a yeshiva bachar and you haven't eaten in like half a day. And theoretically, you could eat a whole lamb, a whole Korban Pesach by yourself. So there's one opinion in the Tanaim that says you are not permitted. You cannot fulfill the Korban Pesach eating it by yourself. So why not? Why can't you eat it by yourself?
What if it is mitzvah?
So then he's stuck. If he's tamei, he's out of luck. You got to bring Pesach Sheni. Let's keep going. What do you bring? Ases samim zacha ben shana yelachem. You bring a sheep. Min akvasim min ha'izim tikachu. From the sheep and the goats. Then what do you do? V'haya lachem l'mishmeres ar arba asar yom lachodesh hazeh. V'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael bein arabayim. Fascinating. What do you do now? You hold it for 4 days until the 14th. And then you slaughter it. How do you slaughter it? As a collective.
Right, everybody.
Kol kahal adas Yisrael. So the Gemara says that this is a drasha, that the Korban Pesach is shechted in a mass slaughtering. And it says kahal adas Yisrael, so it's in three groups. Kitos, three groups. The first group, the second group, and the third group. A, B, and C. They pack everybody into the Azara for A, then they close the doors. There's no more room, there's no more room. Then they go with B, and then they go with C. Okay. Isn't that interesting? What is the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid. It's the Korban of an individual, private person. How do I know it's a Korban Yachid? Because you pay for it yourself. That determines whether it's a personal or communal offering. If you pay for it, it's your Korban. If the treasury pays for it, it's the Tzibur's Korban. Okay? There's a difference between a Tzibur, a collective, that means that everybody is together, it's one entity, versus an individual, which is a Shutfus. Let's say in this Korban, so let's say Mark and I were going to bring Korban Pesach together, so we'd each split the cost 50-50. That's not the same as when the Tzibur brings a Korban. Because that Tzibur, that fund, doesn't come from the two of us. That comes from the Truma Salishka, it comes from the Beis HaMikdash, and it represents all Jews everywhere. No particular Jew can have ownership over a communal offering. So in this case, who pays for the Korban Pesach? The individuals, the Yechidim. Individuals pay for the Korban Pesach. So that means it's your sacrifice. So all of a sudden now you're saying, wait a second. Well, the sacrifice is yours, but the way that it's supposed to be slaughtered is as a group. The Gemara Yuma calls that kinufya. Kenufia, like kenos, coming together. So why is it that this carbon also has an element of community to it? Finally, v'lakhu min adam, it tells you at the end of the day how to prepare it. The first thing you do is v'lakhu min adam, finally you take the blood after you slaughter it, and v'nosnu hashtei mezuzos v'al hamashkof, you splatter it on the doorposts and on the lintel al habatim asher yochlu osa b'hem. So why do you do that? So one reason you could tell me is because in a certain sense your house is like a mikdash. When you were in that home on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the Rabbonu Shalom himself came and rested his presence in your home, you were like the house of God. It's like a base of mikdash. So the same way the Mizbeach used to sprinkle the blood, so it's the same thing over here. But maybe there's some other element. Because you could think about it, is the blood on the inside of the doorpost or the outside of the doorpost? That's another discussion. V'ochlu es habasar, how do you eat it? Balayla hazeh, in this night, tzli eish umatzos, roasted with matzah almrom yochluhu. So you have like a lafa, so you have matzah in those days was soft, it was pliable, and they had harif, that was marer, and you ate it roasted. Al tochlu mimenuna, do not eat it raw. Uvashal mavushal bamayim, uncooked in water. Ki im tzli eish, you have to roast it. Rosho al karav al kirbo. And then they describe lo sasir mimenu ad boker, you can't leave anything over, and you should eat it in Yud Aleph while you're wearing your shoes with your sticks in your hand. Why do you have shoes and sticks?
Because you're ready to go.
That's it, because you're ready to go. So all of these things, all of these random tidbits of halachas, are all understood in the context of something that you alluded to before, which is a medrash. It's quoted by Rashi, where Rashi says, in source number 2, Vayikra Faro Moshe l'Aharon v'yom l'chu zivcha l'leheichem ba'aretz. Paro initially had told Moshe Rabbeinu, you guys want to offer sacrifices, goods and to hate. You live here, freedom of religion. You want to sacrifice, go sacrifice. Vayom Moshe, lo nachol la'asos kein, not proper. We should not do this. Ki to'avas Mitzrayim nizbach la'ashem alokeinu. Hey nizbach es to'avas Mitzrayim la'inehem v'lo yiskalunu. So what does it mean, to'avas Mitzrayim? It's a very odd word. So Rashi says, I'll tell you what it means. To'avas Mitzrayim, yiras Mitzrayim. The fear, the awe, meaning the deity of the Egyptians. And he quotes a pasuk from Malachim, ulamalkam to'avas b'nei Amon, ve'etzer Yisrael, the Jewish people refer to that deity, kore oso to'eva. We find it repugnant that people would worship an animal, so we call it Toavas Mitzrayim. Dover Acher, Rashi says, Yishlomer B'lashan Acher, Toavas Mitzrayim, Dover Sonoihu L'Mitzrayim. It's an abomination to the Egyptians. What is an abomination? Zvicha Sha'anu Zovchim, the slaughtering that we're going to slaughter. Shahari Yirasam, because it is their God, Anu Zovchim, that we are decapitating, slaughtering. With that one Rashi, you understand all the peculiarities of the Korban Pesach, and you understand just how significant it was and just how transformational it was. Because think about it now. Here you are, you were a Jew. You've been in this predicament for 200 plus years. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, Chevra, we're going out. I don't know, we're going out. You say we're going out. That's a good idea. I like it. But initially, they couldn't believe it. Lo shama Moshe mikotz ruach. They couldn't believe it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, so listen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring some plagues, and the Rosh is going to show you we're going to do it. Okay, the plagues are good. People are dying left and right. It's good. We're not working anymore. But then Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, okay, now here's what's going to happen next. We're going to leave this place. He said, really? We're going to leave this place? He says, yes, we're going to leave. Everybody's like, Gevaldik, no problem, we're going to leave. Moshe Rabbeinu says, only one thing you have to do. You have to believe in God. You have to have emunah. So people say, I believe! Everybody says, you want to believe it? Get out, I believe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, that's very good, but not so fast. You have to demonstrate your emunah. You have to be willing to do something that will create a covenant, that will be an an impossibly, irrefutably, unquestionably clear sign that you are in. So no, Moshe Rabbeinu says, he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the Egyptian deity, and I want you to take it on the 10th of Nisan. So everybody goes to the market on the 10th of Nisan, and all the Egyptians say, Vastitzachdu. So what's going on? They say, you know what? We need to buy sheep. They say, really? Why buying sheep? Oh, because we're going to slaughter it. Oh, really? You're going to slaughter a sheep? Yeah. You know why we're going to slaughter sheep? Because the next morning, we're leaving. Don't worry. We don't have to worry about you. What do you think the Egyptians said to them about slaughtering the sheep? Crazy. Are you nuts? Guess what? You know what we're going to do to you after you slaughter our sheep? The next day, we're going to slaughter you. And the guy said, don't worry. You know why? I'm leaving. I believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim. I believe in it so strongly that I'm ready to take the animal for 4 days. So now you have, imagine the Jewish neighborhood, like sometimes you walk in certain Jewish neighborhoods, they have lots of, Baruch Hashem, lots of children and toys all around, all the houses, everything in the driveways with the minivans. Instead of minivans, all you hear all night and all day for 4 days is the bleeding of sheep. And you can imagine what the Egyptians are doing. They're mamish like grinding their teeth. They're sharpening their knives. And so all the Jews who took that sheep, they're ready to make a statement. So somebody's going to say, you know what, I'm nervous. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a sheep and I'm going to put it in a corner. I'm going to eat it quietly by myself. So nobody's going to know. I'm going to eat it in a closet. I'm going to put it in a closet, keep it there for 4 days. And this way, I don't have to make a rash. You know, my next door neighbor, he's Egyptian, I don't want to get into trouble. The Rebbe Shlomo says, oh no. Bingo. You have to do it with a family, with a group. Even Al-Pidin, this was the question, whether or not it's a Pesach Nechal Ala Yachid. So now, you're going to have Mikro Mibasar. You got it for 4 days tied up there. Then, you're going to have to do it with a group. And you're going to have to buy in. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to wait until Leila Seder. I'm going to wait to find out. Does the Rebbe Shlomo show up? Does not show up? You cannot wait. What do you need to do? You need to buy in. You need Minui Mibod Yom. You must pay before if you want it to count. You can't wait until that night. And you're going to do it in a group, so you can't hide. And how are you going to slaughter it? It's a slaughter fest! Everybody's slaughtering together! Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Bein Arbaim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what else you have to do? Well, it's not over yet. Then you have to take the blood of their deity and start splashing it all over. As if that's not enough. Then he says, okay, now you're going to eat it. How are you going to eat it? So maybe, Chveis, you know what I'll do? I'll put it in a pot. And I'll boil it up with a pot and with a lid so nobody will know.
Let the barbecue smell all over.
Bingo! Bingo! Can you? When was the last time you made in a barbecue in your house, right? Yeah. You can't do that. You're going to make it in the chutzner, outside. And what does it smell like? Mamash smelled like unbelievable. All night, everybody's barbecuing outside. It's like Gan Sacher and Yom HaTzmaut. It's like unbelievable. Can you imagine what that smelled like? You cannot. I'll talk to my, don't eat it raw. Because you can say, you know, I'll eat a little bit, because it's raw, nobody will know. You can't do that. You have to eat it barbecued. And then they say in the name of the Holy Zohar, the Zohar Kodesh says, that the Pasuk says later, you can't break any bones. Why not? Because then the carcass of the animal remains whole. And when the dogs were schlepping the carcasses around afterwards, everybody could see, that was a sheep, and that was a sheep, and that was a sheep. So it's mamish, like saying Yiddish, it's a shtach. You're sticking it to them. You're saying, this is the statement that we're going to make. It's not easy. So there's one medrash that says that many people weren't ready to make that jump. Until the Rebbeinu Shlom, there's a medrash that says the Rebbeinu Shlom had to open up their nostrils to smell the smell of Gan Eden. Chevra, if you don't do the Korban Pesach, you're going to miss out on the chance of your life to be part of the Jewish people. So then all of a sudden people came running. They said, oh, it's geschmack to be a Yid. I don't want to miss out on that. But you can imagine, that's what it was like. These people, they had to have such emunah to the point where the Rebbeinu Shlom said, get your shoes on your feet and your sticks in your hand, because you have to know that tomorrow morning we are leaving. And that's how they had to eat it. They had to eat it living. Emunah doesn't mean just a cognitive consciousness. Like Rabbi Jonathan Sachs says, faithfulness. You're faithful to something. You are living with the reality that God will take you out tomorrow. You never met him, you never saw him. You saw miracles, but you know, it's one thing to believe in miracles, it's another thing to actually take your life in your hands and take the deity of the oppressors that have tortured you for over two centuries and to say, we're going to make a clean break. Now we can understand why this is a night that changes the whole trajectory of Jewish history, and why it is that Eliyahu HaNavi, not only does he come to a bris, he comes to your Seder. Because what we're trying to do when we sit at the Seder is to reenact for ourselves and for our children and for our families. Our neshamas are feeling the same koach that they felt that night. We're trying to reaffirm, to recommit ourselves to that same level of commitment, that same bris. B'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi. The same way that when a person decides to give their child a bris milah, that is an irrevocable stamp that says they are committing themselves to the Jewish people. Every year when we come back to the Seder, you're making the same statement. And that's why the core central mitzvah of the Seder is the Korban Pesach. That's why we make a Seder at night, because we're commemorating the observance of the Korban Pesach. So it's this concept, I think, it's this level of Mesiris Nefesh and Emuna that is what drives the Seder, and that's what propels us for the whole year. That's why, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, matzah is nama de mehemnusa. It's bread of hemnusa, means emuna, of faith. But it's not cognitive, you know, intellectual concepts. It's a way of life. It's a willingness to say, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm committed to you, and I'm committed to the point where even though it meant risking my own life, I'm willing to do it. That's what we're re-experiencing in the Seder night. And if we can tap into that, we can tap into the strength of the emunah of generations and pass that on, hopefully, to future generations. Shkoyach. All right, so we should bench.